Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
After all this, the Cubs find themselves in fairly decent position.
For as horrible a start as they had, and as disastrous as the bullpen was to start, things look fine.
They're two out in the loss column.
Things look fine.
Mm-hmm.
This division, and maybe this is where you can kind of see the bright side of kind of a dark coin. You are in a division that's going to be really difficult, just impossibly hard. The potential is there for the Brewers to go through a couple of games where they're not so great, for the Cardinals to go through a couple of games where they're not so great, and for the Pirates to not pitch as well as they've pitched in the first couple weeks of the season, all that kind of stuff. It's possible that the talent spread throughout the division is the thing that brings one or two of those teams back to you at some point.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Dane Brugler, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic, joins us at 9:40. Midday Midway at 10:20, and let's hear it.
It's
Who's
back.
Your guy?
It's back, baby. We did it.
We've got multiple sources that we're going to use. We've got the
so many magazines.
Athlon Draft Guide, Pro Football Weekly Draft Guide, the Dane Brugler subscription draft guide. I said prescription. That would be a completely different kind of draft guide.
Sometimes you need that after
yes.
Who's your guy. But
and Daniel Jeremiah's work, among others, at NFL.com, all at our disposal. We will make sure that you are covered. And a giveaway.
Ooh.
We have dinner para cinco for five guests at Chuy's Tex-Mex Restaurants, your official Cinco de Mayo headquarters, locations in Orland Park, Warrenville, and Schaumburg. You have to be listening if you want to win.
Well,
312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR, The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text, a sext, you can, 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Tyler Chatwood deserves another start.
Thumbs up. You can stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You can watch us on these cameras.
Hi.
Brian Gertz directs the video feed at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. The producer is Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and in the back doing what he does, the executioner, Ray Diaz. Yeah, Chatwood was filthy.
Yeah, it was really incredible to watch that guy throw the way he did. Makes all the sense in the world that the very first pitch of the day skipped under Wilson Contreras, went to the backstop, then it was a walk, and then it was a whole bunch of nonsense and got bailed out by a double play. But after that, you saw some serious stuff. You saw the kinds of things that scouting reports, and I found out that a lot of teams were interested in Tyler Chatwood when that free agent signed his contract. It has not worked out well at all, and I don't actually think you've got to get him another start, but if he's a viable weapon for you out of the bullpen, it changes a lot of things.
We're going to get into that a little bit after the top of the hour, after we talk some football and breaking down exactly what we're seeing from Chatwood, because he has the best stuff of any Cubs starter.
I would argue it's the second best, but sure, you could put him in that team photo.
I would say an idealized Yu Darvish maybe, but not the one we've been seeing.
Neither of them are all that fun to watch throw their nasty, nasty stuff. That's the issue.
The swing and miss stuff that he was getting was more than I've seen Darvish get of late. It was really impressive. Has the season stabilized? Are we okay? I guess that's really the question for me. Are we over whatever that was in the first couple weeks?
I think you're over historically bad bullpen week and a half. I mean, really, when you look at it as well, league-wide trends do not excuse a team's performance, but it does kind of put more context on it. Peter Gammons wrote this up. We saw multiple pieces about it in Fangraph and The Ringer. Everyone everywhere was noticing that baseball jumps. And that walk rates for bullpens were really high to start this season. The Nationals had a calamitous first 2 weeks. The White Sox were bad out of the bullpen. The Cubs were bad. There are a good bunch of good teams that otherwise could not throw and could not throw strikes out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. There were a historic number of blown save opportunities by good baseball teams. Maybe the Cubs got caught up in something where guys weren't used to whatever it is that got altered a little bit on a baseball. Maybe
Tommy La Stella having two multiple home run games already.
Tommy La Stella has 6 home runs this season. He has 10 in his career. His home run rate per at bat has increased by 100%. It happens. This baseball jumps.
See the one Gordon Beckham hit? I mean,
yeah.
Gordon Beckham's destroying
baseball. It went a
long
damn way.
Yep, it's really incredible. The segment brought to you by the Chicago Bears. Don't miss out on the largest gathering of Bears players and fans ever at Bears 100 Celebration Weekend, June 7th to the 9th in Rosemont. Get free autographs and photos. See one-of-a-kind panels with the 2019 Bears, Hall of Famers, and other alumni together on stage. Visit ChicagoBears.com for tickets.
So, to your question whether or not the season is stabilized,
are we
for the
okay
Cubs,
now? I guess that's the question. Is everything kind of normal-ish?
I'd like to tell you that it's stabilized once you've gotten healthy players back.
Or once Chris Bryant remembers he's great.
Chris Bryant needs to remember that as well. Or hit into 97-mile-an-hour top winds every single AB so that the thing can dance all the way down.
Well, I love this. Well, Bryant improving thanks to wind-blown hits. Like, no,
something.
It doesn't mean anything.
He was on base thanks to a wind-blown hit. But it doesn't mean that the approach has gotten any better.
Correct.
The swings and pitch recognition have gotten any better. He still needs to get some stuff ironed out. But I would tell you that it's stabilized once it's healthy. So to that end, John Lester's got to come back after throwing his game, right? His sim game. You've got to have Brandon Morrow come back after whatever setback has happened there. You're still in a situation where your de facto closer can give up a home run ball every now and again, which might not be... Well, it might be the same scenario that every baseball team is in right now. I'm not saying that's unique to the Cubs. Everybody can give up a long ball.
Bad pitch.
Even Josh Hader has given up a couple of long shots in his last 6 months of pitching. Like, that happens. He's not... you are vulnerable when you're not healthy. And while you walk guys, because you're not that healthy, you're still vulnerable.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey in Chicago. Catch the Central Division champion Chicago Wolves as they battle Grand Rapids in the first round of the Calder Cup playoffs. For up-to-date playoff information or tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. When's the last time we actually had an Easter Sunday that was that nice weather-wise? I just remember cold and rain of late.
I want to say when I first moved back to like 10 years ago. Probably there's a pretty decent one, I think, though I don't remember a whole lot of it. It seemed really nice.
Did you have a dynamite Easter ham?
I actually, yes.
Really?
And I'm not a big ham guy as it is when it comes to your Easter spiral hams. I think that's kind of a layup. I think it's an easy way out of a dinner that otherwise could be something different. But this one
was
damn
good. But you don't want different for traditional dinners. You want tradition.
I'm not a big ham guy. I would be fine to break from tradition. You go out to the store, you buy the ham that's already prepped, you put it in the oven, you slather a little, honey over the thing?
I don't know. I don't make ham.
You know how to make ham.
Rick just scoffed at you.
What?
But you're trying to make ham sound like a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
You realize that might be your worst take.
Ham doesn't do it for me.
Any kind, you know how many different
ham,
Virginia
no, the, I'm
ham,
talking about the spiral,
ham.
Whatever the spiral sweet ham
oh,
is.
I don't like the sweet.
That whole thing. The sweet ham, the
Boy,
honey glaze, whatever thing.
Unfortunate. Not you a, should stop not while you're thing. Not as far behind.
Had a good one yesterday, though.
Okay,
that's
good.
The thing. Had to say it was on the croissant roll. It was with the spicy horseradish mustard and the sweet ham. Played perfectly. It was a hell of a sandwich. I didn't see it coming.
Okay. Just asking, just out of courtesy, because I don't know much about Easter tradition.
I'm team ham over turkey any day of the week.
Ham over turkey? Now that's insane.
I know that's much more controversial.
Then you're not brining your turkey properly. That's the issue. What are you going to dry turkey? You got to brine the thing.
I just always like ham better.
No matter what.
And I'm taking into account good turkey versus bad turkey.
Okay.
So I think there's more variation
there.
You can't
deep fry a ham. That's a big difference.
You cannot
try.
Well, yeah, you could.
Well, then again,
nothing's going to stop the podcast from trying to deep fry a hock ham.
I'm sure you could bread and deep fry a ham if you wanted to. And now that I'm thinking about it,
probably give it a run.
Yeah.
How was Seder? How was the Passover?
Seder was large and it was big room full of people.
Were the herbs bitter enough?
Oh yeah, it was good. Yeah, I got. I have to eat enough fresh grated horseradish to really get going and feel it in the back of my head. It's almost like a brain freeze kind of thing with a slushy.
Yeah, I've done we did a Seder like a couple of years ago when I was a teenager, and I just felt like if you weren't crying from the horseradish, you really didn't do it right.
You got to feel the tears of servitude. the you better embitter your life enough to at least share in
tears of servitude.
Yes, you must be a slave in Egypt.
Like idea of like checking around and making sure. And are those the tears of slavitude? No. No,
that's the point.
You're just crying because your aunt is yelling at you. Okay, all right. Well, we got to get to the right tears.
You need to be correctly embittered. And I'm going to keep it this year. I'm going to do a week with no. I'm not like crazy checking every ingredient of everything, but I'm going to do no bread, no grains for the week. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So let me see if I can do it. Because we didn't do it last year.
Are these
year.
Yours then?
No, those are not.
We have a box of. What is this?
Because I do low carb anyway, so it's kind of a layup. It's not really that big a deal because I'm not usually eating much bread anyway.
So these thin salted matzahs here in the studio are not yours. You
correct.
Did not bring
those
these in.
Those are not mine.
Okay.
Could be Rosenblum.
Can I have one of those then?
Yeah, sure. Enjoy. Right. But we did.
Or Schuster. Are we just going to name the Jews?
It's time for the naming of the Jews.
We have a break soon,
in this edition of Jews Your Guy.
That's well done, man. Yeah, Who's Your Guy is back. 11:20. We're going to start that up. You know the procedure. You call with a guy. We give you the scouting report. We have done something a little bit different this year for Who's Your Guy. Obviously, it's your choice. You get to pick the player, and we'll tell you about him. But in the pre-show meeting today, we identified, what do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 different guys that we think are going to be your guy. Like we, as the brain trust here, Dan, Jay, and Rick and I sat down. And we tried to peg, like a bingo card, which 5 guys you'd pick on the first day of Who's Your Guy.
Whitington.
I got to tell you, there's a lot of that on this list. We'll see if we got it right after the debut today of Who's Your Guy. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, was it, is it UMass? It's got the little receiver, the little Italian guy.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's a Greg Gabriel guy. Got to get his opinion on him.
Oh, yay or nay on that.
He's a not so much.
Does he call him an a-hole?
He's a not so much.
He's not called him an a-hole, but he's called the people that put him in as a top 20 receiver a-hole.
What's his name? It's like Andy Isabella, right. Yeah, that's that guy this year. That's the, I don't know, Danny Amendola. He's pretty good.
He's white and kind of fast
yeah,
and short.
You got to, you know, his name ends in a vowel. Catches so what's the difference?
He's got Patriot written all over him.
Yeah, watch. Belichick loves guys like that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Sure he does. We'll get a better look at this draft, where it's deep, where it's not, and where the Bears could be improving their team with pick 87. Dane Brugler of The Athletic is going to join us. He's been taking a deep dive into it, and we've got all of his draft reports up for you for Who's Your Guy. That's what we're up to today. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Kyler Murray runs it. He's got to get out of bounds. Murray still moving.
Exciting times indeed as we build toward the NFL draft. We love drafts. We love shiny new things. We love the disbursement of talent to teams. It is a rite of spring, rebirth, and renewal. And here to talk about all of it, he has certainly made a name for himself as a draft analyst. In short order, he has risen to draft analyst status at The Athletic. Dane Brugler is on Twitter at DP Brugler. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Dane, how are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Hard to believe it's draft week already, but here we are, and should be an interesting few days of nonstop gossip and rumors and trying to weed through all the misinformation. So should be an interesting next few days.
What's the headline? What is it about this draft that makes it interesting or unique?
Well, I think it started at the top, and the Cardinals, who spent a top 10 pick on a quarterback last year, are expected to take Kyler Murray number 1 overall, and just it's just a fascinating dynamic of drafting a quarterback top 10 back-to-back years, not to mention a quarterback this year who is as unconventional as we've seen go in the first round. When you talk about his size or lack thereof, the offense that he comes from, no question he was a productive college player, but you know, in the past we've been so you know, the, well, I shouldn't say we, but the NFL has been so married to some of these barriers when it comes to quarterbacks in terms of thresholds with size and different things like that. But Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, I mean, some of these more unorthodox quarterbacks are just breaking down barriers. And so for Kyler Murray, he's a direct benefit of that. And, you know, him going expected to go number one overall, that's fascinating. Then after that, who's the next quarterback off the board? There is no consensus in this draft class in terms of who will be not only the second quarterback, but where will he be drafted? Is it in the top 10? Is it somewhere in the teens? It's, you know, the teams that I talk to, they expect four quarterbacks to go in the first round: Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones, and Drew Locke. But where, when, how? I mean, that's the question. Those are the questions that I can't get any consensus answer to.
Talk with Dane Brugler of The Athletic. He is their draft analyst. You can find him on Twitter at DP Brugler. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Dane, how has your industry's opinion of Ryan Pace changed over the last couple of years? He's got some gems in the middle to later rounds. He has some misses in the top rounds. What do you think of the Bears GM?
Well, I think he's a guy who sticks to what he believes in terms of how he wants to build the roster. You know, we saw that pretty quickly with, you know, drafting Mitchell Trubisky as high as he did, you know, believing in his skill set, and then, you know, not being afraid of, you know, going attacking certain needs where he believes that there's a player that can help the team. And, you know, we saw it in the offseason, obviously, with the, you know, the addition of Khalil Mack, not being married to certain draft picks. You know, it's great to build through the draft. That's how most successful teams do it. But when you have a chance to add an impact player, obviously you make some sacrifices. And it'll be interesting this year. We'll see a different side of Pace with so much importance being on those third and fourth round picks to get a player that's, you know, not only going to make an impact, but, you know, you can't afford to miss. You know, when you don't have a first round pick, you don't have a second round pick, and you're picking, you know, once in the top 125 picks. I believe their fourth rounder is like 126. So, you know, you really have to get that third round pick right. And it puts more pressure on you to get some of those day three picks right. So I'm very eager to see, you know, similar with some prospects. You know, we wait until, you know, year three, going into year four, before we can fully evaluate them in terms of, you know, how they've done at the NFL level. Kind of similar with the general managers. And so eager to see what he does this year with the Bears.
We have a lot of draft opinions on these airwaves, even on this show. You know, friends with Matt Miller and Greg Gabriel as regular contributors. So I always want to know, for people who do what you do for a living, how actively do you look at the opinions of others? Do you look at the big boards? Do you look at other people's mock drafts to get a sense of sort of where you are? Or are you better off just saying, look, I trust my instincts. I don't care what other people think of this guy or that guy. These are my thoughts. This is my research, and I stand by everything I've said, completely irrespective of any other context.
There are probably two, maybe three, you know, small list of other evaluators who are doing this on the media side that I truly respect and believe they know what they're talking about. A lot of people I don't think do. But there's a short list that I absolutely, you know, I consider them, you know, close confidants to myself. You know, it's almost like, you know, we have our own little war room where, you know, we're scouts for the same team, bouncing ideas off each other and what we've heard. And so there are certainly some people on the outside with myself that, you know, I trust, and I believe they know, you know, what they're seeing, their evaluations, but they also have good contacts within the league. And, you know, but for the most part, I rely more on some of my, you know, league contacts with teams in terms of, you know, maybe a player from a smaller school that I didn't know, or, you know, because I'm a one-person scouting department, basically, and so I don't have the arrogance to believe I know more than one of these 32 NFL teams who spend millions and millions of dollars and all these resources into scouring the country for players. So, you know, I definitely rely on a lot of my buddies throughout the league to, you know, help with information. It's really just an information sharing system, because there are a lot of things that I can get maybe from the outside looking in, you know, with some of my scouting, and I'm able to share that, and, you know, some of my other relationships. And so it's one big information sharing system. And it's a funny business. There's no question, but it's something that I enjoy very much.
Who are the guys in the war room with you? Who's your short list?
There's definitely a few that I really trust. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, I think he's the best to do this. He's a guy that he's lived it. You know, he's done this at the league level. He's been a scout for a lot of years. He could be, I truly believe he could be a high ranking personnel man right now if he wanted to. But he's got a good gig going with, still able to be with the family, things like that, which I know is important to him. Daniel Jeremiah is on the short list. Fran Duffy with the Eagles does a lot of good work. Greg and I, Greg Gabriel, he and I certainly have our conversations that, we share some information, go back and forth on some players. And so, and talk about another guy who's done it for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. When it comes to scouting and evaluation, there's no substitute for experience. And that's something that Greg certainly has.
All right. So this year's draft, I'm curious, which player or players is your report, do you think, or you're out on a limb, either positively or negatively? Either it's a guy you like way better than everybody else, or there's a guy who you just think sucks, who other people like.
One player that I like a lot better than others, Jelani Tavai, Hawaii linebacker, who I hear no one talking about him, and yet he's going to be a top 75 draft pick and one of the better linebackers to come out of this group. Once you get past the Devins, Devin Bush, Devin White, the two linebackers that I think are both going to go in the top 10 of Thursday's draft, is a big drop-off in terms of the next tier of linebackers. And I think Jelani Tavai is right there. He's kind of been out of sight, out of mind. First of all, we're talking about a kid from Hawaii, so he doesn't get the notoriety there. But he dealt with a shoulder issue at the end of the season, so he was not at the Senior Bowl. He didn't work out at the Combine. Limited workout at his pro day. So not enough people are talking about Jelani Tavai, but he's the type of guy that the Patriots are going to draft in the late second round, and people are going to start to take notice. But there's a lot of teams that view him as a day two player that doesn't get enough attention. A player that maybe I'm not as high on as others, Dalton Risner from Kansas State. I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a solid pro for a long time, but I see him as a guard. I don't necessarily see the positional flexibility that some other people do as a right tackle and things like that. Some of these receivers, Hakeem Butler from Iowa State, I know some people believe he's a first-round player, the first or second receiver in this class. I think he's in for a rude wake-up call at the NFL level, because when you watch him on film, he's a below-average route runner. The drops are frustrating. And in the NFL, against NFL-level corners, it's just some of those highlight reel catches that he's making, it's going to be the difficulty level of those catches is going to skyrocket versus NFL corners compared to the talent level that he faced at the Big 12 level. So I think Hakeem Butler, I still like him as a late second, early third round type of player, but definitely not in the first round like some other people.
That's one of my dudes. That's You're killing guy. Me, Brugler. It's cold water there.
He's flashy. You watch the highlights. Easy to love him, but I don't know, from a body of work standpoint, when I'm watching him, he's not separating. You don't see nuance in his routes. The drops just drive you crazy. But he's good for that catch radius is enormous, and he can the length. He has the length that makes offensive tackles jealous over 35-inch arms. But some of those 50-50 catches are going to be 20-80 catches at the next level. It's just going to be a lot tougher for him to do so. So I think he can be productive as more of a splash player, but in terms of being a consistent, snap in, snap out contributor, I think that's where there's going to be some disconnect.
Dane, how has the hiring of Mike Mayock with the Raiders changed the perception of your industry by the league, if at all? Side note, what the hell are the Raiders doing?
they don't trust anybody over there. It just comes down to trust and loyalty. And right now they don't have any, besides Gruden and Mayock, there just isn't really any trust in that organization. It is what it is. Hopefully, Mike's a very, very, smart individual. He's easy to get along with. And so, we'll have to see kind of the shakeup that happens in that front office after this. But in terms of the reputation and, how people view kind of what we do, I don't know if there's a blanket answer for that. I think it just depends on you know, certain scouts and coaches and a lot of people on the NFL side. You know, I have a lot of buddies in the league, and obviously, you know, we have good relationships, but I'm sure there's plenty of other in the league who look at my stuff and say, oh, well, you know, he's never done it. He's not, you know, but it is what it is. But, you know, I've had opportunities to be in the league, and it just hasn't worked out, in terms of, you know, timing and something I wanted to do. I have a young family, you know, being on the road 250 days out of the year, not exactly high on my to-do list. But at the same time, I understand what it takes to do this job. And so I'm constantly trying to get better. And, you know, hopefully that shows through my work and, you know, in terms of talent evaluation and gathering information and just trying to know these players front to back as much as possible to project them to the next level.
It is a voluminous publication. And if people want more information about how to get at your stuff, what should they do?
Yeah, just check me out on Twitter at DP Brugler. You can find all our stuff at The Athletic there. You know, it's something that, the Beast, the draft guide. I've never had someone come up to me and say, you know what, there just wasn't enough detail in that. You know, and that's what scouting is. It's all about the details. You're trying to put a puzzle together. And so hopefully people check it out. If you're interested in the draft at all, I promise you will not be disappointed.
Real quick, before we let you go, and this is an on-the-spot thing, two names the Bears take at 87, Dane.
Ryquil Armstead, running back from Temple, is a guy I know they like. So I think he's a name to keep an eye on in that late third round if they want to go running back. If they go, say, like a corner, David Long from Michigan, doesn't have great height, but he's a really good athlete. He's tough. He's physical. David Long from Michigan could be a name on the short list.
There you have it.
Thanks, Dane
Brugler. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, guys.
Dane Brugler at DP Brugler on Twitter. So who's your guy? Starts this week. Starts today at 11:20. You're going to be hearing some of these scouting reports right there.
Some good stuff. Okay, so that was Ryquil Armstead and David Long, the cornerback out of Michigan. I'm writing them down.
Ryquil?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds a combination sandwich bread and cold remedy.
He'll put you to sleep with his feet.
Right.
Something.
He will give you some, you know, Ryquil. It clears your congestion, and it's great with pastrami.
Yeah, that makes sense. Some kraut, little pastrami, a Thousand Island.
Nice Reuben
60
sandwich.
60 or 70 yards.
That works.
Lots of draft to do. We'll continue that little baseball as well. Dan saw something he didn't think he'd see over the weekend.
Yeah, and that's very impressed.
It's worth noting when we get back. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.